Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tasha Cobb singing Fill Me Up Overflow on One Mic, One Take. You provide the fire.
See you. Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Be blessed and praise God on this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He said we shall rejoice, rejoice, and be glad in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God on today. I was waiting for Bishop Sermon Butler to call in, not knowing if he's calling in on a different number, but I'm just going to go ahead and pray, amen, and see what the Lord is going to do today. Praise God. We thank and praise God for you and you being on the air today with us. It's a great awakening, the blazing altar, praise God, and we are looking for a high time in the Lord. We're looking for God to do such amazing job on today, just blessing us and refreshing us and moving on the inside of us, praise God. So let me pray, y'all. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Glory, 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 glory. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just come and we just bless your holy name, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we look to the hills today, Lord God, with cometh our help, Father God. And we know, Father God, our help comes from you, Father God, who made heaven and earth, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, as we come today, glory to your name, Father. Yes, Holy Spirit. We ask God in the name of Jesus, glory to your name, Father, to do a miraculous miracle on today, Father God, that you will feed us manna from heaven, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit. God, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do, what you're going to say on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking, Father God, that you will pour out your spirit, God. Yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Pour out, God, on us today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, we lead you like never before, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We know the times are hard, Father God, and we know a lot of people, Lord God, are falling by the wayside, Father God, and that's why you said the great awakening, the blazing altar, Father God, and we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you're going to do, what you're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I ask that you bless, God, the speaker of the hour, Father. I ask that you move upon him right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, breathe, breathe, breathe a fresh anointing upon him, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you and I praise you, I glorify you, and I lift you up, God, today. These things I pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to check, amen, our board today, praise God, and see if one of these are bishop on the line, amen. Just bear with me, y'all, bear with me, hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise why I do this. I'm going to just hit some buttons, amen, today, amen, to check, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Praise God. One more. One test. One more. Amen. Hallelujah.
Apostle.
Praise
Apostle.
Lord.
Apostle. Can you hear me? Can you
yes,
hear me now?
Yes.
It's all right. That enemy
yes.
don't want this word. Hallelujah. But the fire is blazing on the altar tonight. To God be the glory. We thank
Amen.
You, woman of God. I thank you. Hallelujah. Pastor, glory to God. We are now connected to God. And we thank
yes,
you tonight.
We are connected.
Praise God. We give
Amen.
You the honor and all of the glory. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank each and everyone for tuning in tonight. I'm honored. I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen. To be invited to host on MCI Radio Show from Mount Carmel International Ministry. Amen. In Dover, Delaware. Amen. Where the pastor
Amen.
Is Matthew McNeil and Apostle Carolyn McNeil. Thank you, man and woman of God, my family in the Lord, my children in the Lord. I just thank and praise God for you all. Everybody that's tuned in via Facebook, via the prayer line, Under Spirit of Truth prayer line. We thank and praise God for you tonight. I want to honor my lovely wife tonight. Amen. And all the family. Glory to God at UTM. And each and every one on the line tonight. I tell you, the fire's still burning. Woo! Glory
Amen.
To God. The man of God brought forth the word last night, letting us understand about the fire burning on the inside. Amen. And I'm going to ask God to just continue to, and that same move, that same anointing. Amen. For we are in the great awakening revival. Amen.
Amen.
The revival is the great awakening, the blazing altar. So we thank God tonight for each and every one, amen, that's here, that's listening, for those that would tune in at a later date. We ask that you would hear the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. God is moving by his spirit. Is your oil on the altar of sacrifices? Because your oil does the spirit control. If you want to be blessed and find peace and the rest of God, you got to give him your all and all. So we thank God for this blazing altar revival. We're talking about the altar tonight. If I can lay some foundation before we get started, I was honored when the apostle and the pastor asked me to host one night, for this is dear to my heart, the altar. The enemy have attacked the altar in the church. Satan has come up against the altar because he knows it's the place of great power. It's the place of great worship. It is the place where God meets us and moves. So he has been affecting our altar calls for a long time. You know, I recall when I first came to God and how sacred the altar was. See, the altar is a place where you come to fellowship with God. And it has been attacked to the point where we have, quote unquote, an altar call. People begin to believe that it's only a place or a call for people who have sinned. We begin to think that the altar is just a place to get it right again. And the altar has taken a bad hit because now we are ashamed to come. When they say we're having an altar call, most people will not go for the fact of what somebody else may think about them. Why are they going to the altar? As though it's punishment. But tonight, even from last night, if you listen, and even tonight, and tomorrow night, we pray, God, that you would catch the revelation of the blazing altar. We pray that you would catch the revelation and be a part of this great awakening. So in order to do that, I'm going to teach a little different tonight. I'm going to monologue tonight. It's not often I use notes. I normally trust the Holy Spirit from fellowship. But I'm going to do some monologuing tonight. And we are going to talk about the altar. You know, the altar is built for a purpose. It's built at a designated place. The altar was always a place of fellowship with God. See, so it is a designed place. It's a place to restore and to keep fellowship and to prepare yourself for fellowship. And whenever you build an altar, we're going to look at it from that metaphor tonight. Picture yourself building an altar. But let me first say that the altar would be symbolic to your prayer room. The altar is your place where you sacrifice to God. It's a place where you fellowship with God. And the altar that you build will always reflect your worship. And your worship will always reflect your altar. For it's a place that you were assigned purposely to meet God. So the first thing that we need to know that when we're going to build an altar is that you have to have a vision. See, where there is no vision, the people perish. So when you're ready to awaken yourself, when you're ready to go to the next level, when you're ready to designate a time or a place where you're going to meet God, you need to get the vision of the will of God for your life. You need a vision as to who God called you to be. See? And the more that you come to this place of worship or fellowship, then God will give you a vision as to who you are and what you are accountable for of becoming, your place, your destiny. So the first thing we need to know is, what is God saying about me? What does God desire of me? So I will know how to build this place of worship, this altar, because it will reflect who I am. If God needs you on the altar longer, you'll know that. If God calls you to the altar, you'll know that also. It's a lot. This is something, glory be to God, it would take a month to teach. And we're going to try to do it in an hour. But let's look at the altar in the Bible. The first altar that was built, it was built by Noah. In Genesis 8, now chapter 20, after Noah came out of the ark, he sought God, and God led him. The first thing to do is build an altar. When he built the altar, God made a promise. When he built the altar, God promised him, as long as there remaineth seed time and harvest, summer and winter, hot and cold, long as time continues to go on, I will never deal with man with a corporate punishment again. He said, I will never destroy the ground for man's sake. He said that in Genesis 8 and 20. He said, because you honored me, because you put me first, can I just take my time tonight? Do you know when you put God first, when you build an altar to God, when you set a prayer schedule with God, when you set up your place to meet God, God honors that. Hallelujah. And God will give you back a promise for you placing him first. The first altar that was built, Noah built it because he knew the importance of staying connected to God. The altar keeps you connected to God. The altar gives you the word that you need from God. The altar is the place where you pour out your heart before God. Every man in the Bible that had deep fellowship with God, they build an altar. Can I just talk? When God called Abraham and he had him to make a sacrifice, what he believed to be his only begotten son, and he believed that was the sacrifice called for that altar, he made up his mind to carry it out. So he built an altar. Isaac built an altar. Jacob built an altar. Jacob was at Bethel. And when he laid stones down for a pillow, when he got up and had seen that God moved in his dream, good God Almighty, he left it there as a memorial to God. Listen close. I'm excited about this because this is what the church is lacking. We're lacking a great awakening. We're lacking in the power at the altar. We have taken away, good God, the meaning and the importance of the altar. The altar. Right now we have so many churches, they don't even have an altar again. Oh, they don't have an altar. We used to have to go to the altar and get to cry out to God. When you first got saved, you had to come to the altar, and you had to lay at the altar, and you had to tarry for the Holy Ghost, and you had to stay there, hallelujah, till you got a move from God. Now all you got to do is raise your hand. Now all you got to do is, everybody close your eyes. Nobody looking at you. Raise your hand if you want to be saved. And we believe that that's all it takes. Well, people of God, I'll tell you tonight, that's all it takes for salvation. That's all it takes to become a child of God. Oh, but it takes so much more to grow. Hallelujah. It takes so much more to tap into who God called you to be. It takes so much more, glory be to God, to stir up the gifts that's given unto you. It takes a lot more than raising your hand and closing your eyes. It takes more than one time confession. All of them great men, they build an altar. But for where we going tonight, for I believe the man and woman of God heard in the spirit about the great awakening, I want to call attention to another patriot in the gospel by the name of Moses. Moses, he built an altar. He built the altar after they came out of the bondage. And if I can encourage you tonight, if I can encourage you right now, good God Almighty, that if God brought you out of bondage, if God changed your life, if God did a new thing in you, then you ought to build an altar like Moses did and call it what Moses called his. When Moses built his altar, he called it Jehovah Nisi. Ha! Jehovah Nisi. The Lord, our banner. Know why? Because God had given him victory. See, I got to teach different because on the radio I can't waste a lot of time. So I'm going to go through some things, but I pray God that you stay with me. Hallelujah. I got to get the most of the time. He called it Jehovah Nisi. Know why? Because God brought victory. And you ought to, oh, glory to God, you ought to commemorate every victory. Hallelujah. Every hurdle. Huh? Come on. Every time you've seen God step in. Every door that you've seen God open. Good God Almighty. Every time that God moved by his spirit on your behalf, you ought to visit your altar. Good God Almighty, every victory you won, that's how many times you at least should be at your altar. Even more. Hallelujah. But your victories that come through Christ Jesus, you should always give God thanks. The altar is the place to do that. See? Now, another thing about the altar. It was always instructed how to make these altars, how to carry them out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they made these altars of stone and wood. And it was good enough for the time and for what was needed. But the Lord knew that there was going to come a time where you was going to need a stronger altar. Watch, hear me. You was going to need an altar that will be able to withstand all of the sacrifices that will be brought to God. So now we're talking the instructions of the brazen altar. Now look, the altars that God told them for men on to build, they were made of brass, because brass represents judgment. Hear me, people of God. Brass is judgment of God. So when they came out of the bondage, it's God wanted to give them a typology of Jesus Christ. So he told them to make a brazen altar. Now, it's important, because the altar made of brass was able to withstand the heat. I'm going somewhere. An altar made of brass can withstand the temperature of any fire that's needed to quench or burn the sacrifice. What are you saying? God knows that it's going to take more heat in your life or my life or some of our life to burn out some of the things that's deep within. See, when you sacrifice on the altar, I'm going somewhere. When you sacrifice on the altar, everything won't get burned out at the touch of fire. Some things are going to take hotter fire. Some things you're going to have to heat longer. So God has a representation of Jesus being brass, because brass can withhold as much heat as you need. You and I know. You know if everything's been burnt out. You know if it takes more heat. You know if you have to stay in the fire longer. And see, some of us is coming out of the fire too soon. Some of us ain't staying on the altar till all of the dross is burned out. So, watch this. He told him to build the brazen altar. The brazen altar was a piece of furniture in the tabernacle in the wilderness. God gave Moses a depiction of the tabernacle. It's the same in Hebrews. It shows us the furniture and the tabernacle, the holies of holies. You can see a whole diagram of the tabernacle. And the first thing that they seen going into the tabernacle was the brazen altar. Now, brazen, watch this. I'm saying a lot, but I pray, God, that you catch it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in Revelation. Brazen means to solder. It's like if you solder something, or you welding, if you're welding something, watch this. Brazen brass, to make the brazen altar, meant that this precious metal, hallelujah, you and I, it had to be prepared to come together and hold up. Watch where I'm going. Now, the fire on the altar, the heat that it takes for brazen brass to make the brazen altar, you needed this flux. If you know anything about welding, they had to add this flux. This flux is an additive. It's an adjutant that holds together the brass. Oh, God, help me here. Good God Almighty. Meaning that when you are building your prayer life, when you're building your place of worship, when you're building your place of sacrifice, when you are building your altar to God, you need the flux to hold things together. The flux these days is the Holy Spirit. See, and a lot of us is trying to build a place of sacrifice. We're trying to build a place of worship. We're trying to build a place of fellowship, but we don't have the flux to hold us together in the heat. Oh, I better slow this down. I don't want y'all to miss all this. I said we need the flux to hold the metal together. See, and the brazen altar, the brazen brass, what keeps the metal strong and together where it can hold the heat that it takes for the sacrifice, the flux holds it together. What are you saying, Bishop? I'm saying some of us may be wondering why we do so good in the church. We even do good when things are fine. But soon as the heat get turned up in your life, y'all don't hear me yet. Soon as the fire get to burning real good, then we fall all apart. But the only reason why you fall apart, because you don't have the additive, the flux, the Holy Spirit. You're not adding it into the brass, who are you, who the altar is made for, to hold it together. So without the flux, even though it's precious, even though the brass is the most precious, strongest metal to hold the fire, good God Almighty, when things heat up in your life, it falls apart. That's because we have to trust the flux, the Holy Ghost, to hold you together. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to bring all this together, but I got to give you the information. You need to be held together even in your trials, even in your circumstances, in your disappointments, in your tribulations. When the enemy come in like a flood, when you get attacked, you got to hold yourself together on the altar. Woo, glory to God. But you need that precious additive. You need the flux so that the heat don't pull you apart. It binds you closer together. Somebody ought to say amen to that one. See? Hallelujah. See? So you need that. Know why? Because it keeps you connected to God. Before I go into a little further, I know I got the break coming. But I want to give you some information for the second half of the break. I'm hoping I can bring clarity to this. The altar was a way to keep you connected. Even today, the altar is a place for your prayer life. And there was five sacrifices. There were five ways to God that you got to always know that the altar take care of. See, the altar is where you can get it right when it's wrong. Hallelujah. So watch this. There's five ways to God through the brazen altar. We're going to talk about why it ought to be brazen, because that your altar can't be brazen, and it should be blazing. The fire should be burning high, and we're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk to you about the altar, about your sacrifices. The first sacrifice that you can bring to God is a burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering, it signifies atonement. The burnt offering, it means it's how you go to God for atonement or for consecration. That's what a burnt offering is for. It's to clean you up. It's to keep you purified. It's to give you forgiveness when you need it. It's how to fix it when you're wrong. See, and a lot of times we think that's the only reason to come to the altar, where we have to atone for our sin. If you see the altar like that, then your own condemnation will stop you from coming to God or building an altar or building a prayer life or building a relationship, because you think that the altar is only for fixing wrong. Amen, somebody. So when you're in church and they have an altar call, if you ain't got nothing to fix, if you felt like you haven't sinned, then you think you don't need to go to the altar. You'll say to yourself, why do I got to go to the altar? I ain't did nothing. You don't understand the power of the altar. You need a great awakening. You need to understand that the altar ain't only for atonement and for consecration. Because you can bring a meat offering as a sacrifice. That's number two. Another sacrifice for the altar is a meat offering. Now, we're not talking about sheep and goats and turtle doves. We're talking New Testament now. Your meat offering is your flesh. Because meat offering represents thanksgiving. So you can go to the altar just to give thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Please hear me, body of Christ, hear me tonight. Don't let the enemy fool you another day. You need an altar. You need one in your home. You need one in your church. Good God Almighty, you need to visit that thing. Glory be to God as often as you're led to. Because you can take a meat offering to God, which is thanksgiving. Do you got something to thank him for? Hallelujah. Do you have something to be grateful for? Well, the altar is there for that too. You ain't have to do nothing wrong. You ought to stay at the altar. Before church start, you ought to be down at the altar. When they give the altar call, you ought to be at the altar. You didn't have to do nothing wrong. Sing to God. Hallelujah. You're going there. Hallelujah. To give thanks. See, it's also a peace offering. The third one is a peace offering. You know, the peace offering, it represents fellowship with God. You have to understand that, listen, you don't always got to go to the altar to talk to God. Hallelujah. You can go lay before God, and he'll talk to you. But you have to understand the brazen altar. You have to understand it's a place of fellowship. Come, though your sins be as scarlet. The word of God said, I'll make them white as snow. A peace offering is for fellowship with God. I'm almost done. Now, the fourth thing is a sin offering. We know about that. We know that that's a place to go in the altar to fix sin. It's a place of reconciliation. That means to get things right. But the same altar that you go to get things right, hallelujah, is the same altar you go to thank him. It's the same altar you go to fellowship with him. It's the same altar that you go to hear words from God. It's the same altar. And glory be to God, there's power at the altar. Ha, glory to God. And the last one is a trespass offering. That's the other offering that you bring to God on the altar. That's a trespass offering. Now, watch this, because the trespass offering is pretty much like the burnt offering for atonement or to get things right. But an atonement makes God not mad at you. The trespass offering makes you not mad at yourself. Y'all don't hear that one yet. See, the trespass offering, it signifies freedom from guilt. See, after they were forgiven, the consequences of the sin. I'm just talking good tonight. I'm talking real to the real saints of God. After God forgives you, sometimes it's more harder to forgive yourself than it is for God to forgive you. Now you need a trespass offering. Is that all right? Hallelujah. See, you need a trespass offering, because a trespass offering is the cleansing of guilt. That's what a trespass offering is for. It cleanses guilt. And sometimes we got more guilt and more shame down on the inside, even though God has forgiven you. Good God, even though God has said, get up, go again. It's guilt and it's shame, and we will not go forward. We will not believe God again. Come on here. We won't trust God again. We won't have faith that God said what he said about us, because we need to take a trespass offering. Amen. I trust that that we got that. Amen. I trust that we have that, people of God, because you have to forgive yourself. The enemy play tricks like that. We know to go to God. We know to ask God to forgive us. Hallelujah. We know that God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in the same time, after we get forgiven, we still won't forgive our own self. People of God, tonight, you must learn to let it go. Come on here. Praise God. So when God forgives us, we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Amen? Now, I just want to talk a little bit more. Before the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the altar. Because the altar is a brazen altar. In the Old Testament, it represents judgment. It was the place of judgment. And it was a place of safety. And sometimes you are going to have to understand that the only safety you have, or the safest place you can be, is at the altar of God. You have to grab hold to the horns of the altar. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the horns of the altar, but that was the power place, the place of the authority of the altar. And in the Old Testament, if you could make it to the horns of the altar, come on, somebody, no matter what you were going through, no matter what you've done, if you can grab hold to the horns of the altar. Oh, I'm saying something. I feel like standing up shouting. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me share something with you. Watch. Good God Almighty. Let me tell you something. Watch. And Joab, let me say this. Adoniah, I think it's 1 Kings chapter 1. Adoniah had did wrong. And Solomon was chasing him down to take his life. He knew he was wrong. He knew what he had coming. But he ran. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. He ran and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. Y'all check 1 Kings chapter 50. Verse 22, he grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. And when he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, good God Almighty, the people went and told King Solomon. They said, King, Adoniah has grabbed on to the horns of the altar. I'm going somewhere with this. He grabbed hold to the horns of the altar. And when he grabbed hold, Solomon said, I will not touch this man. Woo, glory to God. Though he did wrong, he was at the place of judgment of God, but he grabbed the power and authority of God. And Solomon did not touch him. What are you saying, Bishop? I'm not saying to do wrong. But if you find yourself in need of forgiveness, hallelujah, if you find yourself in need of an advocate. You got to grab hold. Hayabusha. He ran to the altar. If we can learn to run to God, rather than getting nervous, rather than running to the newspaper, rather than running to your friends, if you run to the altar, good God Almighty, in any situation you find yourself in, if you would just run and grab hold of the horns of the altar, good God Almighty, whatever you need, if your heart is right, it will be released to you. But a lot of times, we run to God in the wrong spirit. We run to God with the wrong mindset. We run to God with the wrong reason. See, Joab did the same thing. Joab found himself in trouble. And he ran too, and he ran and laid hold of the horns of the altar. And you know what? His life was not spared. What do you say? Same altar, same horns, different heart. See, different hearts. I'm ready to go somewhere. See, it's a different heart. See, some sacrifices are killed before they ever touch the altar. Hear me, people of God. I really pray, God, you, if you're on MCI or if you're on the prayer line, I want you to go over, glory be to God, to Bishop Thurman Butler on Facebook where you can hear this again. Go back over it again and catch this. I really want you to catch this part now. Same altar, same horns. One man's life was spared. The other man's life was not. You know why? Because some sacrifices are killed before they ever hit the altar. Some after. What are you saying, Bishop? What I'm saying is, when you come to God, when you build an altar for God, when you pray to God, when you fellowship with God, before you ever get on the altar, something you have to have laid down in your heart already. See? Something you have to already have in your heart that is dead. It's over. It's killed. I'm coming to God, but I don't even have to bring that to him. Some things don't die until you get on the altar. I'm talking so real tonight. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking relationship with God. And if you really want a great awakening, if you want the blazing altar, if you want the fire to be blazing on your altar, and you want the experience of the blazing altar, hallelujah. There's some things before you even get up there on the altar, you have to lay it down. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to, oh, come on, somebody. You don't have to be super anointed. You don't have to have a high calling in Christ. You can come to God just as you are. You can be bound by cords to the altar and still not have everything right. But if your heart is right, if your heart is right and you remain on the altar, y'all, some of y'all know where I'm going. I'm going over to Romans 12. If y'all want to go ahead over there before I get there, you've got to already have it presented to God, even if it's not dead yet. Know why? There's a difference between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice. See, and some things before you ever get to the altar can be dead already. if your heart is fixed and your mind is made up. But don't let that stop you. You got to get to the altar. You have to build an altar. You have to lay before God just as you are. And he'll cleanse, he'll clean what you bring to the altar. He'll burn it away if you stay. Huh? He'll burn it away if you stay. But anything, glory to God, that you can kill before you come. See, you can kill jealousy before you ever hit the altar. You can kill anger before you ever hit the altar. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can kill unbelief. You can kill disobedience. You can kill many things before you ever touch the altar. Hatorosha. So when you come to God, some things are already killed. Oh, I'm going to deal with that a little bit more. I'm not sure how close I am to the break. Some of this I'm going to save for after the break, but it's all right. Let me say this. Let me share about another practice in the Old Testament. God told the priest, watch this. I believe it's in Leviticus chapter 1, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 1. Watch this. God told the priest, hallelujah, whatever sacrifice you bring to me, he said, the first thing I want you to do is wash the insides with water. I want you to take the animal that's going to be sacrificed, wash with water the inside. Good God Almighty. Woo! Wash the inside with water. Then gather it up and set it on the altar. See, do you understand, people of God? Watch. You can't, a lot of times, I'm not going to say you can't, but a lot of times we present ourselves on the altar of God. We bring ourselves, we give ourselves to God, but we ain't washed the inside. God don't want dirty flesh on the altar. Y'all ain't talking to me, but it's all right. Hallelujah. See, God told the priest, I want you to wash the inside before I apply the fire to the outside. And a lot of us is coming in the presence of God, trying to get under the fire of God, trying to get under the Holy Ghost, trying to go, y'all ain't talking back to me, but you ain't washed the inside yet. See, he said, before you present your body, before you put the flesh on the altar to be dealt with, to be burned up, wash the inside. God don't mind burning up the flesh on the outside. He don't mind dealing with the dirt, even though he don't want it, but he don't mind dealing with the fleshly side of us. The fleshly side is not clean, people of God. The fleshly side is where the dirt remains. The fleshly side is the part that get dirty right after he clean it. But if the inside is washed, good God Almighty, if the inside is washed, he'll keep burning the outside till all of it is burnt away and you're clean on the inside. That's when you have Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Oh, what a change. See, the change comes when the inside is washed. If the inside is washed, the outside can be dealt with. But if you're trying to deal with the outside on the altar, the inside is dirty, then you're not going to be able to prosper. You're not going to be able to get converted. You're not going to be able to be consecrated. You're not going to come on somebody. You got to first clean up the inside. Hallelujah. And then the outside will take care of itself. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that I beseech you, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. That you present your body. A living sacrifice. Now, you have to present this sacrifice. What they mean is like, you ever see a presentation when the king come to town? When the president come to town and they do a presentation? You might have flags flying. You might have the band playing music. You might have people marching. It's a big celebration because you are doing a presentation. You just might roll out the red carpet for the person to be presented, or to present to the person the sacrifice. So that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to make it a celebration. Hallelujah. He wants it to mean that much to you that you do a presentation of yourself, that you salute him, that you bow down before him. Good God Almighty, that you lay prostrate. Hallelujah. As a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But what you must realize, that even after you present your body, it does not fix your mind. We're talking about a great awakening. And I'm talking to somebody who may have been presenting themselves to God and keep falling off track. Yeah, you presented your body. Yeah, you go to church. Yeah, you make it to prayer night. Yeah, you dance and shout before the Lord. Yeah, you sing in the choir. Oh, all that is presenting your body. Yeah, you stop drinking. Yeah, you stop smoking. See? Because you presented your body as a little sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But something keeps going wrong. Know what it is? Presenting your body does not transform your mind. You can go through all the religious stuff you want. If your mind is not transformed, it will overrule the body. Ha! Glory to God. If your mind is still conformed to this world, if it's still conformed to your own way of doing things, if it's conformed to anything other than the mind of Christ, presenting your body means very little. Because you can be in church with a presented body and your mind will drag you right out of it. See? Your mind will tell you to do totally opposite than what you've presented your body to do. Hallelujah. But he said, present your body a living sacrifice. That's the hard part, saints of God. The hard part is to be a living sacrifice. Let me share this. I talked about the horns of the altar. Do you know if somebody bound you or bind you with cords? to the horns of the altar, you are not able to move. If somebody tie you down to the altar, you are not able to move. You have to take whatever they do to you. For the lack of a better illustration, I know I'm almost at the break, but let me say this. For a lack of a better illustration, I'm going to talk about satanic worship. Satanic worship. Most times in satanic worship, they tie you up. And then they do the most outrageous things to you. Hallelujah. And it's nothing you can do. Think about the images we have concerning the Indians tying people up to the totem pole. And then they light the fire and they dancing around them. It's nothing you can do because you're tied down. Hallelujah. You see? But God is not going to tie you down. God is not going to bind you to the horns of the altar. God don't want to control us like that. He said, Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. That means you getting on the altar on your own. Hallelujah. But it's not easy being a living sacrifice because a living sacrifice still got their own will. A living sacrifice can get up whenever it feels like getting up. A living sacrifice will sing a song like we sing in church. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got. Everything I am. And everything I'm not. You know how we sing that song. I'm yours, Lord. Try me and see. See if I can be completely yours. Well, God don't have to try you to see. He knows us. And you can be, but the thing is, when you're on the altar and things go wrong, or somebody do something to you wrong, somebody say something to you wrong, y'all ain't talking back to me. See, you're on the altar, and you're sacrificing yourself till you feel like getting up. See, soon as somebody do something to you, soon as somebody say something to you, soon as God don't move fast enough for you, soon as you got to hold on and believe God longer, we get off the altar and we handle it ourselves. We do what we want to do. And after we're done or we make a mess of it, then we want to get back on the altar again. That's the problem of a living sacrifice. See, if you was being controlled, if God tied you down, then you have to take it. No matter how much it hurt, no matter what they do, what they say, you have to take it. But if you're a living sacrifice and they ain't kill you first and put you up there, then you can do what you want. Amen? See, so that's the difference. And God desires a living, hallelujah, sacrifice. He desires someone who wants to come and meet him 5 o'clock in the morning. He wanted somebody that will sacrifice their sleep for him. He wants somebody that will sacrifice their mind for him. He wants somebody that will go beyond their own limitations for him. Hallelujah. That's a living sacrifice. Amen, somebody. Praise God. We're going to go to a break very soon. I trust that I did get some things out. That was on my heart. I believe it's time for a break. I'm going to come back, people of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to touch and agree with what else the Lord would have us to see. And
praise the Lord, everybody. We thank and praise God. Amen. Bishop, it took all of me just to kind of hold myself in, amen,
hallelujah,
for the word that was going forth. And I thank God, amen, for the great awakening, the blazing altar.
I wish I would have did more time for this teaching. And I know that me and Pastor has to bring you back to do some more teaching, because it just been an awesome, awesome move of God. And I pray that everybody truly got the word of the Lord today. I'm going to pray a song, and we're going to do our announcement, and we're going to bring Bishop back because we got maybe 10 minutes, and we're going to let him pray for us. Amen. Praise God. Is that all right, Bishop?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
We thank God for you, man of God.
You know,
God really blessed, and that word was such an awesome, 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 awesome word. I got so many notes, and my paper's all written up, praise God. But I'm going to go to the song, and I'm going to come back, amen, and you can pray, amen, because I'm telling you, I know that many people are listening, and we need this word.
Hallelujah.
The blazing altar, bringing the altar back. The altar, y'all. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Give God some glory. We're gonna do our song announcement. We're gonna bring Bishop back. All right. God bless y'all.
Amen. Amen. But over the break. God is good. So here's a couple of things I'm gonna close it down. I'm gonna pray. Hang it over the Facebook guys. And that's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise
welcome,
God.
Welcome
back
to MCI Ministry Radio. We are in revival on this week for 3 days, so we thank God for that. Such a great and awesome time that we had on Monday night with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. He brought forth a powerful, powerful word, and we thank God for him kicking it off. And we give God the glory, y'all. Come on, let's give God some praise for what the man of God has done on last night, Monday. He's ushering in, I said, from the holies of holies, from the outer courts, the inner courts, and the holies of holies. We are going through, y'all. Come on, let's give God the glory. Tonight, we have Bishop Thurman A. Butler from Richmond, Virginia, Undisputed Truth Ministry. And we thank God for him being our guest speaker on tonight. We thank God for the movement of the Holy Spirit. We know God is going to send such a powerful word that will change our lives from the beginning to the end. And on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. as well, it is no other than the one and only, amen, Dr. Carolyn McNeil. I will be closing it out on that night, praise God. And we are looking forward to such a great time, more things to come, and we will keep you informed. You are on MCI Ministry Radio, and if you'd like to be a partner in our ministry, we welcome you. You can contact me 302-883-9799. A sponsor, you can also contact me 302-883-9799. And if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, you can do so. We have a Cash App. It's $Anointed. That's A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D 222. We thank God for you, and we thank God for allowing us to come into your home and wherever you may be. But guess what, y'all? Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you.
Amen. You have your last word. Amen. We don't want to cut you off, so we can just go ahead and pray. Whatever God gives you, and we pray out, we're going to have to bring you back.
Praise God. I thank God for that. Come on, y'all. I pray, God, that y'all heard the information to sow in to Mount Carmel International and to Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil and Apostle Carolyn McNeil. I tell you, I thank God for them. And I tell you, woman of God, I tell you, I was saying it myself. And I wanted so much, I wanted to get in. I said, well, wait a minute. I got to be past the break, I believe. I knew I wanted to take a break at the 30-minute mark. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, I think I'm a little past that. We thank God for what was said. I trust that it touched your heart tonight. One thing I wanted to close this out by telling you tonight, whenever they built an altar, whenever they set up a sacrifice, the first thing they had to do was drain the blood. They had to cover the altar with blood. And I thank God, hallelujah, that the altar of your heart, the altar of our salvation, has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Mm. And I want to let you know tonight, glory be to God, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But we can give God all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, because he has shed his blood upon the altar of our hearts. So thereafter, the altar is covered. Now that you know your altar is covered with the blood, now he will light the fire and cause the blazing altar to burn. I'm asking you right now where you at, wherever you're at, wherever you're standing, wherever you're listening, open up the heart on your altar. Ask God to pour out the flame and fire, cause it to blaze as never before. You need the blazing altar to be blazing down in your soul. And I thank God tonight right now for you and you. I'm beginning, hallelujah, to feel the presence of the great awakening. I'm asking, oh God, that you touch each and every one. Oh God, that you stir us up once again. You send forth a fresh wind of your anointing. You set up the fire to burn brighter than ever before. Good God Almighty, hallelujah, that we lay out before you, God. Hallelujah, that we give it all to you. Hallelujah, that you do the work, oh God, even as we yield. And right now, tonight, forevermore, God, keep us. us in your care. Keep us close, God. Hallelujah. Stir us up once again. We may give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. Hallelujah. That we begin to run. Hallelujah. As never before. Everyone under the sound of my voice, those of you that will come across it later on Facebook, we ask that you would become a part of this great awakening. Come on every Monday at 6 o'clock. Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. You come on Wednesday evenings. Come on Sunday mornings onto the same line number. Those of you in the Richmond, Virginia area, come on out to Undisputed Truth, 1921 Darby Town Road in the city of Richmond, Virginia. And let us be in your corner as we make you a champion. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name, and we give you all of the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I'm going to turn this back over into the hands of Apostle McNeil. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
To God be the glory.
God bless you. God bless you.
We love you, dear.
All we thank and praise God for the Bishop Thurman Butler tonight, and we give God the glory for what he's doing. I thank God for all the listeners that came on. Praise God. And don't forget, tomorrow night will be the end. Amen. We have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, y'all. Come on. Come on out and let God do the awakening. Amen. God
Hallelujah.
Bless you all, and have a beautiful and wonderful night. God bless.
We love you. God bless. Bye-bye.